When morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised, alike at work and prayer. May Jesus help my repair, may Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. That's why we're here, and to share and worship together. So as long as you're standing, let's greet one another with God's peace. I guess I didn't need this on yet. Joys and concerns. Anyone have any joys? I know you do, Vian. It's a joy to see you here.
I'm so glad to be here.
I thought I'd bring this out, and you can tell them a little bit about one of the reasons.
Yeah, I wanted to tell everybody that Channel 4 came out and interviewed one of Jay's customers that had won a lot at the horse show. And so it's going to be on TV on Channel 4 at 5 o'clock on Monday. So if you get a chance to watch, this young girl, Jay had found her a horse a year ago, and she won with that horse, and then her other horse she won too. So very exciting.
Monday, right?
Monday. Yeah, Monday at 5 o'clock. I told you the wrong time to start.
It'll be part of the 5 o'clock news, right?
Right.
Yeah. Did you all get that? It's been good business lately, and Jay, of course, is...
he's become pretty famous.
Her son... you know, I was in the horse business. I sometimes tell people that Plato is not a one-horse town, it's a two-horse town. But that's not right either. I mean, there's two stables, so to speak, but there's a lot more than, what, you had 26 or 27 horses out there?
Yeah, I think we've got more than that now.
A lot of people coming to ride. And
yes, and the riding lessons are doing very well. And the fact that Jay did so well at the show, he's got so many calls and everything, I'm very proud of him. However, he had an ad thanking everyone and he forgot his mother. But that's the way it goes.
Well, I heard this morning that he refers to you as Vian.
He does?
Yeah. Didn't you notice that? Yeah. That's kind of an honor, I'd say, you know. Yeah. Other joys. We welcome visitors here, being mindful that really we're all visitors to planet Earth, right? This isn't my church or your church or our church. But it's God's church, as is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? And we're appointed to be caretakers of these marvelous gifts we have. Elsie, how's your friend's brother doing? He had a fall or something, or
yeah,
young man, right? I forget his name though. Justin, yeah, Justin. And we also had, I wonder about Jason too. Jason Sitz. Does anybody know how he's doing? He took a fall too. Oh, it's Justin. That's the one we're talking about then. Same person. Okay. And Barb Stockman, and still having work done on her face. She's had the Mohs surgery and awaiting another surgery to graft skin in that place where the cancer was on her nose. So pray for them. And of course, Kent and Carla. Anyone else? Joys, concerns? Well, the website's up and going, right? For our church. And you can see it. It's and listen to it, the services, by audio. I don't know why I'm using this anymore, but thanks for the council, the church council, and Peggy for getting that going. And in keeping with the theme of the day, sweet hour of prayer, I see Dave, you're up to it again. The hour is now. You did that, right? Yeah. I'm learning to watch that things change on there. So, any other joys, concerns? Well, let's go ahead then. There's a call to worship. Not that we haven't been worshiping, but in your bulletin, we're reminded that God welcomes those whose hearts are sick. God's invitation comes to people whose joy is gone. Why is the health of God's people not restored? Why must we weep day and night for those we have lost? Of course, referring to some of our older Testament readings today, these words continue. But there is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician who heals. Jesus Christ is our mediator, healer, and savior. We bring all our pain and unresolved anger. We come in our confession to seek answers. So bring all your urgent prayers and honest laments. God is eager to offer salvation and to open us to truth. We cry out to God for deliverance from our sin. We cry out for relief from our suffering. So be it. Join me in this prayer of giving voice, invoking to the English language to express probably some of the things which are in our heart. Prayer of invocation. Together we say, into this holy temple we have come, gracious God. This is not our church, but yours. We cannot claim our world. It is a trust from your hand. Our lives, our health, our length of days call forth our stewardship. We are managers, not owners. So we come to you now to give account and seek your further commands. Help us, O God of our salvation. Amen. Every week, we admit our failures, things we've neglected to do, things we've probably done that are outside what God would have us do. We're in the middle. So we confess that by saying and praying together. O God, we have not managed well the wealth of the earth, which is our trust for you. We have modified your commands to suit our own egos and desires. We have wasted resources while hoarding for our own use what is meant for all to enjoy. Our concerns are narrow and our compassion is weak. We are restless and unfulfilled, for we have not tried your ways. Forgive us, we pray, and lead us into your new day. Amen. And hopefully, not only on Sunday morning, but all over the globe, may we two-leggeds be aware that we try, we fall short, but yet we have a God, a creator, redeemer, sustainer, who says, thank you, your sins are forgiven, you are pardoned. Let's sing 640, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. Why not return, sweet hour of prayer? Sweet hour of prayer, an hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. James, you signed up to read, and he's coming to read one of our lessons for today. We're continuing on Paul's letter to Timothy, his good friend and helper.
A reading from Paul's letter to Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable before God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. I am a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth.
I found that I kind of smiled at that one part, James. I tell you the truth, I'm not lying. Wonder why Paul had to say that. I think because there were some, like today, there's so many voices out there. What is truth? The question that, of course, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus almost in disgust, knowing that he had to carry out the orders for this execution of what his eyes was a good man who stirred up the crowds, yes, this Jesus, but he couldn't find much wrong with him, as you remember. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I am the truth. And Pontius Pilate goes, what is truth? He struggled with that, and I think we struggle today. So many voices out there coming from, I jokingly call it Spacebook, not Facebook. But it does, it seems, it's a different way. Podcasts. How do people get their news today? What is news? It's good news that you read from this morning. Paul's letter to Timothy. Last week I talked about prayer, and I'm talking about prayer again today. At first I thought, shouldn't talk about the same thing, but why not? It's important. Prayer is praise, and praise is as prayer. The two go together. As we go and grow together, hopefully as a congregation, as people all around this planet are passengers on planet Earth, we're going together. And as I said last week, to quote from a book called Old Turtle, the message is that we are a prayer to God from Earth. We, two-leggeds, are a prayer. Martin Luther, the great Protestant Reformation age, said once, when we sing, we pray twice. Could be. Some people say, oh, I can't sing, but you know, the Bible doesn't command us to sing so much as to make a joyful noise. And also, even more importantly, to carry that music in your soul, in your heart. How many of you have had a song go around in your mind that it's hard to get out of? Right now I'm thinking of Hickory Dickory Dock. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Save me. The mouse ran up the clock. This morning I woke up thinking of a song I'd heard Bob Dylan sing on the Farm Aid concert last night, all quiet and not like he used to sing. Don't think twice, it's all right, Ma. I'm only bleeding. We are a prayer. There is a connection here with our Creator. And we can go with that connection. We can live with that comfort and that challenge. Or we can choose to ignore it and fight it and argue. But we are not here on our own volition. Yeah. So praise God. And pray God continually, like Paul says. With all supplications. I had to look up the word, I'll confess you. What does that mean? Supplications and prayer and words of thanksgiving. Supplication simply means a humble prayer. Coming before God and each other, even though we might stand in higher places like a pulpit, we don't know everything. And the older I get sometimes, the more I realize how much I don't know. But it's hard to be humble. As the song goes, and I've said it many times, we're not perfect. But look at those words. Think about this. I discovered prayer and praise. Okay, they both start with P, right? P, and then what comes after that? In praise. Raise. Lift up God. Lift up your arms in holy thanksgiving, Paul says later in that same letter. And then pray. Starts with a P, and then you've got what? R-A-Y, array. We are a light. We are a ray of light. Prayer of thanksgiving. So we focus on this thing called prayer. You know, we have a prayer team here. And the way it works is you call one of the leaders and then can come from the team itself, a request for prayer. And they're usually something to do with someone they know who's sick or injured or has experienced a loss or is looking at some health issue, maybe with tests. And that's all in good. And almost right away comes a response. Yes, we'll be praying, we'll be praying. That's all in good. But there's more to prayer than simply praying for certain peoples. And of course, it's usually people we know. We don't think to pray for those in higher places, at least not as a matter of course. Kings and queens and presidents and this and that. But, you know, so I have to go back, and I'm going to read this, just a little bit of it again, James, if that's okay. Paul's letter to Timothy, the second chapter. He goes, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. For kings and all who are in high places, for people who might be talking outside our windows, so that we may lead these, along with those people in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life with all goodliness and dignity. Dignity. Don't hear that word a lot these days, I'm sorry to say. But it's important for all human beings to treat each other with dignity. And creation. And our ones in high places. I still have this little book around. It's called Pentecost II, Aids for Interpreting the Lessons of the Church Year by R. Ellen Culpepper. And Elizabeth Ochtimer is the editor of these little volumes. And I'm reading something here about someone who wrote this back in 1986 about a commentary on this particular letter of Paul's to Timothy. R. Ellen Culpepper is the James Buchanan Harrison Professor of New Testament Interpretation at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. is a graduate of Baylor University, Southern Seminary, and Duke University, and he's been a pastor in Indiana and has also taught at Duke and Vanderbilt Divinity Schools. He's the author of 4 books, many articles, so forth, so on. And I tell you all this because I want you to know how much I value people who devote their lives to the study of theology, who teach in seminaries, who write books, who are authors. And they may have multiple degrees. That's good. I like that, having been in seminary myself. But I want to read you this, is just a few sentences on his commentary on 1 Timothy 1 and 2. And this is also from 1986. I'm trying to think who the president would have been then. I should have looked it up, I guess, but it doesn't matter. 1 Timothy commands prayer for all and mentions especially, quote, kings and all who are in high position, unquote. Then he goes on, good Christian citizenship requires just. Now that means like injustice, not only. Sometimes we pray, oh God, just do this. No, just means justice. Requires justice and caring relationships with both poor and rich. And by respecting the authority of civil leaders, members of the church can lead, quote, a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectable in every way, unquote. Whew. Respect, dignity, important. I've told you this before, but you know, politics is from a word that means polite. We can agree to disagree. Someone who we disagree with us, we don't shoot them, do we? Hopefully not. Terrible things. Assassinations, attempted assassinations. Every time that happens, we have to fight through that. And I got to tell you, I look to you all as dignified people. Maybe I just don't know enough about you. I don't know. But you're an inspiration to me because I see that you get along with each other and we talk. Sometimes we argue. But we're all on the same side, whether Republican, Democrat, independent, non-political, non-party. We pray all over the world, hopefully with the Spirit's prompting, who doesn't have words sometimes, just with a groan, with a sigh, too deep for words, Paul writes to the Romans. I'm going to end with a song. I wrote this years ago. It's from 1 Thessalonians 5:16, where Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica to say, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, this is the will of God for you, and you, and you, and you and me too. Rejoice, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you and you and you and you and me too. Sing it over again. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Let your light shine before all, so we will worship our God in heaven. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. We have something we can say together. It's called a statement of faith. It's on the inside cover of your hymnal. We use three of them here from the United Church of Christ. First one goes all the way back to the 4th century, Apostles' Creed. After decades, they decided what they should be believing and shouldn't be believing, I guess. And then the United Church of Christ came out with one in 1959, which many of you memorized, I think. And now this one is the third Sunday of the month, UCC Statement of Faith, 1981, as if we're speaking to God, to say this: We believe in you, O God, Eternal Spirit, God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in our year, and to your deeds we testify. You call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen. Our prayer song is I Need Thee Every Hour. We'll sing three stanzas, and then Diane keeps playing, and we keep praying, and then we'll come back and sing the fourth stanza after that. The Lord's Prayer. need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, oh, thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art not. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or in pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come. Oh God, I give voice to prayer, knowing it's only a little prayer here. I try and express what's in my heart, but it seems like it's, I mean, I don't know. I'm not here to judge myself or anyone else. Just to speak, perhaps the concerns of this congregation for others, for themselves, all the issues that we have today. People would come to mind. I think if Justin sits, and Barb, and recovering. Think of all the folks at Charlie's service down in Arizona today. People gathered to mourn another assassination. Oh God, help us to be peacemakers, to say and do things that will dignify, make important, yet not over-importance of our role on this planet, knowing that we're all in it together. We choose leaders. We pray for them. Teachers, nurses, doctors, social workers, farmers. No matter the occupation, we all work for the purpose of living abundant life that Jesus promised. I've come that you might have abundant life, you said. Not only for us, but I can only imagine terrible things. Not just shootings, but bombs on children. When are we going to learn? When will we ever learn? Where have all the flowers gone? Where have all the followers gone? Sometimes we wonder. We fight over religion, fight over land. Sometimes we just fight to win something, to prove that we're better than somebody else. I don't know. But most of all, I give you thanks for this wonderful prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I need thee every hour, most holy one, we sing.
I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, oh, blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my soul. I come to thee.
We stand as we sing, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God all creatures here below. Praise God above you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Join me in an offertory prayer by saying together that we give, loving God, because of your generosity to us. We share because this is your will for us. In faithfulness to your call, we seek to manage the resources you provide for the greatest benefit to humankind. May they bring an awareness of your intentions for us and your rule among us. We worship and serve you with all we have, so be it.
We give thee but thine own, whatever the gifts may be. All that we have is yours alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee.
Our last hymn, we sung before, but I think some of you have heard this. You know, anybody know who Buck O'Neill is? Ring a bell with anyone. Buck O'Neill? He was the first black man to coach in Major League Baseball. And I heard him interviewed, maybe 20, 25 years ago on a radio show about that experience of being the first black to coach. And at the end of this interview, he sang this very song, and I'd never heard it before. And so I think of that moment every time I sing. Knowing you, loving you, serving you, the greatest thing.
The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to know you more. Want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you.
I was thinking, what's the greatest thing, knowing, loving, or serving? And I realized I got my words turned around in the second stanza. But really, it's all the same, isn't it? To know you is to love you is to serve you. Amen. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.